The writer Richard Reeves has devoted himself to an issue that's tricky to talk about, the troubles of boys and men. Statistically, boys do worse in school and are now less likely than girls to attend college. They go on to live unhealthier lives and even have higher rates of suicide.
There's been a reluctance to address those problems, those male problems, out of a fear that that will somehow distract from or dilute the ongoing work we need to do for women and girls.
Reeves published a book 2 years ago called Of Boys and Men. He made that a springboard to establish a think tank. And then, this summer, he received an email.
And it was entirely out of the blue.
Philanthropist Melinda French Gates, who is distributing $1 billion to causes for women and girls, sent some of the money to Reeves's American Institute for Boys and Men.
What she's come to realize is that a world of floundering men is not like to be a world of flourishing women, and that we do have to rise together, and that actually if men really start struggling to do their bit on the home front or to in the labor market, it's not like that women end up unscathed from that.
Reeves is standing up his organization during a presidential contest between former President Trump and Vice President Harris. Where do different ideas of masculinity fit into the presidential election?
We're seeing an interesting debate now in the election. The irony is that this was supposed to be an election about women and about women's rights. And of course, it still is. But it's striking to me how much of the debate and so much of the performance almost of the election so far has actually been about competing views about masculinity and manhood. And I think that's particularly true given the changes on the Democratic side. So on the Republican side, we've seen a leaning into a very performative, bravado type of masculinity. I think if you want to see how far the Republicans are leaning into that, then you only have to notice who introduced Donald Trump at this year's RNC. It was Dana White, the head of Ultimate Fighting Championship. And so you've seen a real shift leaning into some of the concerns that men are having. But interesting, on the other side, I think the fact that we have a woman at the head of the ticket on the Democrat side has actually, in some ways, created a bit more permission to talk about the issues of boys and men because she's a woman. And so people won't immediately be suspicious. That very few people are going to think that she's a secret misogynist who wants to roll back the clock on women as she runs for the presidency. And even more importantly, her pick of Tim Walz, I think, is a really important signal here, and it'd be interesting to see if they follow this up with any policies. But a high school coach, a high school teacher, there's a way in which Tim Walz is embodying a more service-oriented form of masculinity.
I think you're correct when you talk about Trump as a more performative idea of masculinity, and he will say, I'm tough, I'm strong, I say what I think. At the same time, I mean, is it manly to complain all the time and manly to refuse to accept when you obviously lost and manly to mock people who are weaker than you? Are those manly things?
I'm always reluctant to cast myself as somebody who has the right definition of masculinity because, of course, there are very many different ways of being masculine. But I would say that the longest and best established definition of masculinity that I've found as I've done this work is really of being of service to others, of being of for more than yourself. And so throughout human history, what has distinguished an immature man from a mature man, what's taken you from boyhood to manhood has been that you are able to generate more of something than you need for your own survival. And so it could be food, it could be something else, but something for the tribe, for the community. And so that's, if you like, the old idea of a provider, but it's not defined in this narrow way of just a breadwinner provider that I think people have gotten stuck in. But I think the idea of a man who exists only for himself, that's actually the opposite of masculinity. And so there's a certain selflessness. The difficulty that the progressive left have on this issue is a reluctance either to admit that there is such a difference between masculinity and femininity, or to be willing to accept that there are some aspects of masculinity, and of course these are all at the average, which are actually a good thing. So if we think that there are certain aspects of Tim Walz's masculinity, for example, that make him, that is masculine, that makes him on average a bit different. You know, there's all these memes now. He'll fix your car. He'll make sure you get home safely. Right? He'll put his arm around you, be a coach. Well, how is that different to femininity? There are some things about masculinity that are good. And so far, that's been a difficult thing for people on the left to say. And they've got to start saying it, because if the only people talking about masculinity in a way that's distinct from femininity are the people on the right, then I think we're going to see a deeper cultural hole open up beneath us.
It is not new and not a surprise that there's a gender gap. There are more men who have voted Republican in recent times, more women who have voted Democratic in recent times. But it's interesting to see Generation Z, younger voters, that women are very strongly for Democrats and men seem to be leaning Republican even in that younger demographic.
What's interesting about this is that if you look at the attitudes of young men, of Gen Z men, towards gender equality, for example, there is no evidence that they are in any way less supportive of gender equality than previous generations. If anything, they're more supportive. But I think it's a real mistake on the part of people on the left to see the move of young men towards the right and see that as a turning towards the right when it could just as easily be a turning away from the left. And that's a very important distinction because I think a lot of these young men actually feel quite homeless politically. And that does make them open to at least the sense from the right that at least they're being heard on the right. The problem is that on the right, there are absolutely no policy solutions to help young men. And so there's a desire perhaps to benefit from the dislocation and discomfort and uncertainty that many young men feel, but a real reluctance to actually have a substantive policy agenda to help them.
Richard Reeves leads the American Institute for Boys and Men and is the author of Boys and Men. Thanks so much.
Thank you.